An interesting note, ERCOT has the largest generation capacity of zero-emission wind power in the United States, which, as we've also heard several times today, wind is susceptible to, well, at least during the winter storm, was susceptible to freezing thanks to the freezing rain. But energy storage options co-located with wind could have helped minimize some of those issues. Another note, CAISO, we haven't talked a lot about CAISO today, but CAISO leads the country with more than 14 gigawatts of installed solar plants, and we'll see in this next slide how that's sort of translating, or how that is translating, into increased storage capacity within those within the ISO show. And you'll see CAISO in California is leading the way with operating storage capacity. I think that that's a direct correlation to the fact that they are leading the way in those more the solar and wind energy options. And ERCOT is right there in the mix in storage capacity. Then you move to storage that's pending in the interconnection queue. You see CAISO is still in the lead. Interestingly, New York moves up on the map, and ERCOT also still in the mix, but I'd expect to see those numbers grow.
This is the one slide that my iPad has not been able to
just a brief overview of, I guess, the different portions of the global energy storage business, where we're talking about technology, financing, permitting and environment, regulatory framework, revenue streams, and management systems. Part of why you're seeing a growth in battery energy storage now versus previously is because of the technology, and the battery technology has really improved dramatically over the past few years and continues to improve on not quite a daily basis, but I would I would venture to say monthly. I think that there's a lot to do with that. The technology improvements have a direct impact on the increase in storage, right?
So I think for some of those, right, we've seen some of the technology has always been driven by, part of this very much has been the cost factor as a first point. And the technology, so moving into lithium ion, lithium phosphate batteries, you look back, say, 5 years ago, and you were not able to get a warranty that was going to last the term of a loan. Now you can consistently get warranties for 10 years, up to 20 years, on tier one battery suppliers, which gives you a lot better ability to get comfort that you're going to be able to secure the value of your project.
Right. So, as the technology improves, the reliability improves, which makes lenders more comfortable, so they're able to provide financing for these projects. With increased reliability also becomes a more predictable revenue stream, right? You can actually enter into agreements for the sale of this energy storage if you have some, dependability around what you're going to be able to discharge. And then just a note on the regulatory framework as well as permitting. Regulatory framework is catching up with battery storage as well as permitting. We're focused in Texas and California, and we definitely, permitting, depending where you are, county to county, some counties are up to speed on that regulatory framework. Others are getting there, right?
I think one of the big permitting ones that is still there to come through, I guess, is the moving biggest problem with these is your UL certification or getting fire permitting. I think still maintains a big problem, particularly given, as recently as the start of this year, there were tier two suppliers that were having fire issues, or as they like to call them, just exothermic events, is the polite definition. These unfortunately are the same cell suppliers, say, that you see causing issues with the Chevy Bolt recall and the likes for fire issues as well. So I think obviously projects that are in the middle of nowhere connecting to transmission where they can just safely burn out and destroy themselves are very different projects from a permitting point of view from trying to, say, build into, trying to take advantage, say, of pricing, you know, differences within say Harris County or Travis County or the likes in ERCOT?
Just note here, since it is the Power and Gas Institute, I just wanted to have a line here about the fact that oil and gas companies are continually investing in renewables. And does that slide work?
Yeah, that one is. This one works. So I think, you know, part of this connecting through to battery is very much, you know, we're consistently seeing the traditional business or industry, oil and gas industry, is pushing more and more into renewables. You know, there's a couple obviously that haven't moved a lot here, but you can see, I think, over this in the next slide, there's a lot of investment going into wind and slowly more into solar as well. And these are just two technologies that ultimately are, you know, they're transient, and having battery supply and the price of battery, being able to co-locate battery systems at or near these projects is starting to make a dramatic difference when you're considering how to monetize and how to get value out of your renewable power.
Okay, moving on to issues and development, we're just going to give you a brief overview on the different types of revenues and offtake structures that are present within the energy storage industry, just an overview of some execution contracting models, how performance guarantees play into development of an energy storage facility, and then we'll end with a summary of some regulatory issues.